I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
We are having technical difficulties with the candles. We will get them done momentarily. When we left home, the power was out too, so I don't know if somebody's trying to tell us something or what. Let's pause for the invocation, and then we'll hopefully get the candles lit during the opening hymn. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for another Lord's Day when we can gather and give you praise. We pray now that you would fill our cups to overflowing with your loving grace, that as we enter this Lenten season, that your Holy Spirit would minister to us, that we might draw closer to you and closer to each other. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing, Jesus Loves Even Me. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. This shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
In your worship folder and on the screen is our
Response of reading today comes from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath.
Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There's no help for you there.
When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them.
But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper.
Whose hope is in the Lord their God.
He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them.
He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry.
The Lord frees the prisoners.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down.
The Lord loves the godly.
The Lord protects the foreigners among us.
He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked.
The Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations.
Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. As we go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God?
Well, I pray we want to remember Allery Wilson in your prayers. You all know Allery. She's been homebound for a long, long time, and she lives there just for her dogs in Australia. And she loves telephone calls and visits, if at all possible, to let her know that the church people love her and appreciate her. And also, Arlene Ford, she desires to be here but not able right yet, so still remember her in prayer.
Thank you. Thank you. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise. The song says, My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. We pray this morning that you would remind us of how much you love us. Remind us that we are your children. We're children of the Heavenly Father. We're children of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Remind us, Lord, that we're not in this thing called life alone. You promised that your grace and your strength would be sufficient for us. No matter what life might bring our way, that you would watch over us, that you would keep us close to your heart. Thank you, Lord. We're reminded today that there are so many people that are grieving. There are people who lost family members in the shooting in Kentucky recently. There are people who are going through the ravages of nature with floods, with blizzards, with cold weather, with fires. We just pray now that your Holy Spirit would minister to them. We pray that you would use us as your children to reach out to them, sharing your love and your grace. We pray today, Lord, that you would be with the athletes in South Korea. We pray that you would help them, that they might give their very best, that all the work that they've done in preparation would now serve them well. We pray that you'd be with our leaders, Lord. local leaders and world leaders and everything in between, remind them that they have the opportunity to help to build your kingdom here on earth. Help us, Lord. Remind us that our church isn't a building. It's not an organization. It is us. If there's a problem with our church, help us to look in the mirror and see what we might do to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Be with our troops today, Lord. Watch over them and keep them safe. Be with their families, Lord. Comfort and strengthen them. Help us that we might dare to trust you day by day, and that we might be ambassadors of your loving grace. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your loving grace to us. You've blessed us so wonderfully. We pray now that you would bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's lift our hearts and voices now as we join together and sing, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee." Seated. Our scripture this morning first is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. And then from Psalm 126, verses 2 and 3. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, "What amazing things the Lord has done for them." Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
About that name. Jesus, the mere mention of his name can calm the storm, heal the broken, raise the dead. At the name of Jesus, I've seen sin-hardened men melted, derelicts transformed, the lights of hope put back into the eyes of a hopeless child. At the name of Jesus, hatred and bitterness turn to love and forgiveness. Arguments cease. I've heard a mother softly breathe his name at the bedside of a child, delirious from fever, and I've watched that little body grow quiet and the fevered brow cool. I've sat beside a dying saint, her body racked with pain, who in those final fleeting seconds summoned her last ounce of ebbing strength to whisper the earth's sweetest name, Jesus, Jesus. Emperors have tried to destroy it. Philosophers have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it. Yet still it stands. And there shall be that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race, shall rise in one great mighty chorus to proclaim the name of Jesus. For in that day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Ah, so you see, it was not mere chance that caused the angel one night long ago to say to a virgin maiden, his name shall be called Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, there's just something about that name.
Don't know if you've ever thought of it or not, about the idea of God laughing. If you were to go online and do a Google search on laughing Jesus, you would find numerous sketches, oil paintings, drawings of Jesus laughing. I like that. It's sad to see the perception that much of the world has about God. And unfortunately, they got that idea from those of us who claim to be God's children. They think it's a family resemblance there. Those of us who are called Christians and who are supposed to be the church should reflect a God of love and mercy and compassion. But very often that doesn't happen. Many old people, and many people today, not just us old people, see God as an old man in a white robe with long white hair and a white beard. Sounds almost like Santa Claus, doesn't it? I had my teen choir. We had had about 40 kids in our teen choir, and I toured about 20,000 miles with them. And one day we were down in Sikeston, Missouri. We were doing a Sunday morning service at the church there, and They were doing the opening part of the service. The pastor was up front. And now, mind you, this was back in the mid-70s. And it was in the month of December. And I had on a pair of kind of a muted red and green plaid slacks that were in style then, and a red blazer. And the minister was up there, and he was talking about the church program, and he said, "Well, it's just about time for the fat man in the red suit to come forward, or to be here with us." And the little girl beside me started laughing. I said, "Tammy, shh." She said, "I thought he was talking about you." But you know, we get an idea that God is either Santa Claus or that God is sitting up there on the cloud with a scowl on his face, and he's just waiting to get us. Zap! Zap! What a shame. What a pity. That may be the way some churches and some people operate, but that is not who God is. Let me read to you out of Luke chapter 15. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners. I like that in tax season. It seems so appropriate. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law complain that he was associating with such despicable people, even eating with them. So Jesus used this illustration. If one of you had 100 sheep and one of them strayed away and was lost in the wilderness, wouldn't you leave the 99 others to go and search for the lost one until you found it? And then you would joyfully carry it home on your shoulders. When you arrived, you would call together all of your friends and neighbors to rejoice with you because your lost sheep was found. In that same way, heaven will be happier over one lost sinner who returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Or suppose a woman has 10 valuable silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and look in every corner of the house and sweep every nook and cranny until she finds it? Then when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors to rejoice with her because she's found her lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. You're familiar with the story of the prodigal son and all that he went through and all that happened there and the attitudes of both of the boys. But he ends that story with the father saying, "We had to celebrate this happy day. The boy had returned home and it was a happy day and there had to be a celebration." What do you suppose would happen if we pulled up a newspaper or turned on the TV and watched the news? A lot of times it might not seem like an occasion to rejoice. First of all, let me give you one piece of good news. I've already shared with you that choir practice is Wednesday night at 5:30. Now, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but the men's section of the choir is rather slim. That's a nice way to put it, isn't it? Yeah. All right. Let me give you 10 reasons why men should join the church choir. There are even more than that why women should join, but 10 reasons for men to join the church choir. Number 10, rehearsals are almost every Wednesday evening, which means that during that time you reduce your risk of contracting tendonitis from nonstop operation of the television remote control or computer mouse. Number 9, because you wear a choir robe every Sunday, you don't have to worry about finding clothes that match. Number 8, from your vantage point in the choir loft, you can look out in the congregation and play the game. Guess who's really praying and who's sleeping? On the other hand, sitting in full view of dozens of people on a weekly basis makes it much less likely that you yourself will give in to a chronic lack of sleep, although it has been known to happen. Number six, if you think your singing in the shower sounds good, just wait till you've been singing with the choir a few weeks. Number five, singing in a church choir is one of the few activities for men that does not require expensive electronic equipment or power tools. That could help the family budget. Number four, for fitness buffs, singing in the choir is both heart healthy and soul healthy. Also, there's no monthly membership fee, and it's easier on your knees than jogging. Number three, if you think there are no great challenges left in life, try singing with the men in the church choir and staying on pitch. Sorry, Larry. Now, that's a problem. You know, you kind of narrows it down real quick when we talk about the men's section. Number two, choir rehearsal only lasts a fraction as long as the NFL game, but it can be twice as satisfying. The number one reason that men should join the choir, when people ask if you've been behaving, you can say with sincerity, "Why, yes, I've been a regular choir boy." Now, you get to looking at the newspaper today, and there's not a whole lot we can do about the things that are in there. So we might as well look for ways to smile about it. You know, we've heard a lot down through the last few years about the unemployment rate. Are you concerned about not being able to get a job? Listen to some of the excuses that people have used for not going to work. The bottom line, you keep trying, and sooner or later, each of these jobs will be open and be available. I can't work because I'm stuck in a blood pressure machine at Walmart. This one was actually used by a security guard. I can't come to work today because I spent all of my paycheck on lottery tickets and I'm out of gas until payday. Sorry I did not show up for work yesterday. I accidentally locked myself in the bathroom. I won't be in today because I cannot find my clothes. I won't be to work today because my aunt is flying in from Atlanta. She has only one arm and two pieces of luggage, so she needs me to be at the airport. Woman called into work and said, "My boyfriend won't be able to come to work today because he has a fever of 111 degrees. That really happened, and he didn't have to worry about going into that job anymore. I can't come to work today because when I got up this morning, I took two X-Lax in addition to my Prozac. I can't leave the bathroom, but I feel good about it." And then, of course, you know, we've heard an awful lot lately about immigration. Isn't it amazing that our government can track a cow born in Canada 3 years ago right to the barn where it now lives in the state of Washington and can determine everything that cow has eaten for the past 36 months? But the same government cannot locate 11 million illegal aliens in our country. Someone has said that the solution here might be that every time an illegal alien crosses the border, we give them a cow. Oh, might as well laugh about it, folks. And you remember, it wasn't too long ago that we had the Gulf oil spill to concern ourselves with down in the Gulf. BP promised to pay all of the expenses, no matter how high they had to raise the price at the pump. And it makes me wonder, how is BP going to clean up a mess like that when they can't even clean up their restrooms? Food for thought. Now, I realize there are some situations going on that are very serious. And there are others that we can't do anything about, so we might as well find a way to cope with them, even if it involves laughing. Not because of the situation, but in spite of them. Okay, now let's get back to the sermon. If we're going to be out of here by 2 o'clock, I probably better get started on it. A number of years ago, a train stopped in a small town in southern Georgia to take on water for the engine. A passenger stepped off the train and began a conversation with an elderly gentleman sitting there on the platform. He asked the elderly gentleman, he says, "Does anyone around here enjoy their religion?" The old timer thought for a moment and then replied, "Them that has, does." Now, in four words, he managed to make four grammatical mistakes. But theologically, he was right on target. The question was, does anyone around here enjoy their religion? And if we were to translate his answer a little bit, he said, those who have the right kind of religion are joyful people. Being a child of God, having Jesus Christ living and reigning in our hearts, should make us happy and confident. The reason we gather here on Sunday is to draw closer to God and to each other, and to allow God's love and joy and grace to overflow our hearts, to fill us to overflowing, so we can go out into the world and make a difference. Our world is searching for God, and there are those that are blowing themselves up thinking that'll help them to find God. We see people who are willing to mutilate or starve themselves to find God. Let me share a story with you. I think you've heard it before, but it bears repeating. A young boy wanted to meet God. He knew it'd be a long trip. So he packed some Twinkies and a six-pack of root beer in his backpack and started out. About 3 blocks from his house, he saw an old woman sitting on a bench in the park. He sat down next to her, unzipped his backpack, and took out a root beer. He offered one to the lady. She accepted it gratefully and smiled. Her smile was so pretty that the boy wanted to see it again. So he offered her a Twinkie. Again, she smiled. The boy was delighted. They sat there all afternoon, eating and drinking and smiling. They never said a word. As twilight approached, the boy got up to leave. He had only gone a few steps when he turned around and ran back and gave the woman a big hug. She gave him her biggest smile ever. When the boy got home, his mother was surprised by the smile on his face, and she asked, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" He replied, "I had lunch with God." And you know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen. Meanwhile, the old woman, also radiant with joy, returned to her son's house where she lived. Her son was surprised by the radiant look on her face. And he asked, "Mother, what did you do today that made you so happy?" She answered, "I ate Twinkies and drank root beer with God in the park." Then she said, "You know what? He's much younger than I expected." Too often, we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring. All of these have the potential to turn a life around. People come into our lives for a reason, for a season, or for a lifetime. Embrace all equally. Have lunch with God. And remember to bring some Twinkies. In one of my churches that I was at, I gave out over 50 copies of a book by William Paul Young. Maybe you've read it. It's entitled The Shack. Maybe you've seen the movie. If you haven't, watched it. Sometimes the book can be a little bit hard to follow at the beginning, but you watch the movie and it kind of ties it all together. So far, I've read the book 3 times. Now, I'll give you the same disclaimer I gave them. This will never be a seminary textbook, okay? I had a dear soul in my church. He was autistic, but very brilliant. He was an apologetic. He studied theology. When he found out his mother was reading this book, he sent her a 6-page, single-spaced letter about everything that was theologically wrong with this book. It's not a theological textbook, folks, but it'll give you an idea of what God in heaven could be like. You know, in Revelation, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. You think of all the beautiful places you've seen in this world, or if you haven't been out of our country, in this beautiful country of ours. Then imagine if God said, okay, fine, I'm going to do some rework on it. Do some upgrades. I'm going to fix this earth like it was intended to be in the beginning when I first created it. I'm going to leave a bunch of you right here for all eternity. I wouldn't be too disappointed with that. But if you get a chance, read it with an open mind and an open heart. Let God speak to you. Unfortunately, for many people, their faith is not their source of joy. They're dedicated but not joyful. They scowl more than they smile. They criticize more than they celebrate. A small boy went to church with his grandmother one Sunday. Her approach to religion was stern and puritanical. The boy noticed a good friend of his across the aisle and he smiled real big at him. The grandmother slapped him in the back of the head and she said, "You stop that. We don't smile in church." I've noticed that. Thank goodness it wasn't here. But you get the idea. There was a young boy that had the opportunity to spend some time on his grandfather's farm. One Sunday morning, he got up early. He went outside and he got up on the fence rail and he was walking on the fence rail just whistling away. His grandfather came to the door and he says, "You stop that, this is the Lord's day." So he stopped. A little while later, he saw a young colt out in the field, and it was just kicking up its heels and running, and he went out there, and he was running along beside it and laughing. The grandfather shouted, "You stop that! This is the Sabbath!" Well, the little boy was kind of confused, and as he wandered around up in the top of the apple tree, there were some birds just singing away. He says, "You stop that singing! This is Sunday!" Little boy walked a little bit further, and here in the corral was an old lop-eared mule, long face, big sad eyes. Little boy looked at him a minute, then he ran over and threw his arms around the mule's head and said, "Bless you, mule, you've got the same kind of religion Grandpa has." Aha! Think about it. Do Too often the gospel message is perverted to beat people down just when they need to be lifted up. Our world needs Christians who rejoice always. One thing the Christian gospel offers us is a deep, abiding joy that stays with us even in the darkest circumstances of life. Happiness, confidence, abundant life, these are a part of the legacy of Jesus Christ that he gives to us. My Bible says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." The word gospel means good news or glad tidings. Remember when the angels appeared to the shepherds on that first Christmas Eve, Christmas night? "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people." Allow me to share with you three brief truths that can brighten your day. First of all, the Bible is a joyful book. Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Job, in the midst of his sufferings, contends that God will fill our mouths with laughter and our lips with shouts of joy. Almost every page of the Psalms, we find the joy that God gives. "In your presence, O Lord, is fullness of joy. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. Let them sing your joyful praise forever. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Isaiah wrote, "I am overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord." In the New Testament, the notes of joy heighten. Henry Emerson Fosdick put it this way: "The New Testament is both the most joyful book in the world, is the most joyful book in the world. It opens with joy over the birth of Jesus and ends with a picture of the multitude that no one can number singing the Hallelujah chorus. No matter where we open the Bible, no matter what the circumstances, we always hear the note of joy. There's enough tragedy in the New Testament to make it the saddest book in the world, but instead it is the most joyful. The Bible's a joyful book." Secondly, we need to realize that Jesus was a joyful person. Unfortunately, so often we hear Jesus portrayed as a man of sorrows. But everywhere he went, he generated happiness. Think about it now. If Jesus had been a grouch, the children would not have followed him. If he had been sad and sullen, the crowds would not have run after him. They would have run away from him. If Jesus had been cynical and judgmental, people would not have asked him about the secret of real living. Jesus was, and I say this reverently, Jesus was the life of the party. His faith was joyful, so much that his faith was attractive, and people flocked to him because they wanted what he had. Look at the record. Two of the times when the Pharisees attacked Jesus were because they were upset over the fact that he and his disciples were having a good time. Jesus shows us that we're God's children and that our God is a gracious, merciful Father. Jesus' happiness did not depend on material possessions or outer circumstances. His gladness was rooted in a sense of mission and partnership with the Father. The Bible's a joyful book. Jesus is a joyful person. And thirdly, Christianity is a joyful faith. We see it in Paul, who was in prison and in bad health, and yet was still able to say, "Rejoice with me. Again I say rejoice, rejoice always." We see it in Francis of Assisi, whose happiness was so contagious that even the animals were attracted to him. We see it in the great New England preacher, Phillips Brooks. A Boston newspaper once printed, "The day was dark and gloomy, but Philip Brooks walked down the street and all was bright." Joseph Haydn was a close friend of Mozart and a teacher of Beethoven. A friend once asked Haydn why his church music was so full of joy. He replied, "I cannot make it otherwise. I write according to the thoughts I feel. When I think upon my God, my heart is so full of joy that the notes dance and leap from my pen. And since God has given me a cheerful heart, I can do no other than serve him with a cheerful spirit." The story was told of a man who went to see his sick friend up in his attic bedroom. After making his way up the steep stairs, his first comment was, "Well, George, they will sure have a rough time getting your coffin down them stairs." A poet said it this way, "I'm not sure the earth is round or the sky is blue. The tale of why apples fall may or may not be true. I do not know what makes the tides nor what the world may do. But I have certainty enough, O Lord, for I am sure of you." This is the real source of happiness. We can rejoice always. There's a song that we've sung before that says, "I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." Finally, Squire Parsons wrote a song that says, "I sing because there's an empty grave. I sing because there's a power that saves. I sing because his grace is real to me. I sing because I am not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home, where I shall sing through all eternity." If we can't sing, we can laugh. If we can't laugh, we can at least smile and let the world know that God is alive and well in our hearts. Our Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would give us a joyful spirit. Lord, if our hearts are happy, remind our faces about that. May the world see that the people of Rockwood United Methodist Church have experienced and are willing to share the joy of the Lord. We'll give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Our final hymn this morning says, "Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame." We've all been there. We can relate to that. But then it goes on and says, "Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole." Shall we stand?
floods my soul.
Knowing that he has touched you, knowing that he does live and reign in your heart, and knowing that the joy of the Lord can be your strength. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel guide upon.
Hold you.
God be with you.